Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities, and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul, and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the evening service. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
Archie, that's great. Thanks so much. Natasha, you're braver than me. I couldn't cope without some support. It's great to be together tonight. Lovely to see you. Lovely to welcome one or two new faces as well. We are going to be thinking a bit about that question that came up, that coffee question, together. But first, I want to ask you if there are times that you kind of you do things without really thinking about them. So you go on autopilot. I was thinking about times that I do that this week. So I was on a train not long ago and just a very familiar route, got scrolling on the phone and completely missed the stop and had to make my way back. I don't know for you what you've done. I was thinking maybe it's the commute. You go without thinking, same bus, same train. Maybe it's driving to a familiar spot. Anyone had that moment when you're driving and kind of like, I don't think I was quite with it the whole of that time. Or maybe it's just me. Brushing your teeth. I don't know if you particularly need to think about that anymore. I was walking along a beachfront at one time with a friend, and he was just not looking where he was going at all and walked straight into a lamppost. And I wonder this evening if there is a bit of a danger of, you know, because some of those things just doesn't really matter, but other times we don't pay attention and we miss out. And I think it's a bit like that with communion, with the Lord's Supper. We can easily go on a kind of autopilot and think and just take this because it's a thing that we do this particular Sunday without actually thinking, well, why? But when we ask the why, we get exposed to some wonderful spiritual blessings that the Lord intends for us in this meal. You see, the Lord gave us two visible signs of his grace as a church. We had the first, as Natasha mentioned this morning, baptism, a wonderful number of baptisms. And it's a double whammy this evening of the sacraments. Okay, so we've had baptisms. We're now on the Lord's Supper. And both of them are designed by God to give us spiritual blessing. And so I just want us to think very simply this evening about some of the things that we're doing as we take communion. What are we doing and how does it bless us? And there's loads more that we can say than I will this evening. But I just want us to look at three places that we might look, as it were, in our minds. Three things that we can focus on as we take bread and wine, whenever we come to do that. We can look in at ourselves and look around. We can look back and we can look ahead. And we're just going to look at each of those for a few minutes. So we look in and we look around. I would love if you would flick with me to another part of the Bible. If you've got your Bible there, you've got it in Luke. If you could just flick with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We used to play the game in youth group, who can call out the page number quickest. So if you get there, feel free to call it out. Say it louder. 1162, thanks. Great, brilliant. 1162, wasn't even a member of the youth group. Fantastic. 1162, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And right in the middle of that chapter, Paul says this, verse 28. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. Everyone ought to examine themselves. And that's causing us to think about this theme, looking in. Now, this examining yourself, it's not looking at yourself and thinking, am I worthy in some way to take bread and wine? No, the whole point of the Lord's Supper is it's a mark of God's grace, of his gift to us. None of us is worthy to come. And it might be that you're here this evening, you are a follower of Jesus, but you just feel, I've mucked up again this week. I can't really be in God's presence. Actually, this is precisely for us. We don't need to be worthy. We're not worthy, but actually he invites us to this meal as a sign of his grace. So enjoy the privilege this evening. If you're a follower of Jesus, enjoy it however you're feeling coming to take bread and wine. So we don't examine ourselves to work out, am I worthy in some way? Have I done enough? That's not the reason. It's all of God's grace. But instead, we examine ourselves to see, is there still repentance needed somewhere in my life? Is there still some aspect of my life that I'm putting off limits to God that actually needs to be dealt with and brought into the light? So that is why you'll sometimes hear us say, as we before we give the bread and the wine, that if you're not yet sure you're a follower of Jesus, that the best thing for you would be to not take the bread and the wine. Because it's a meal for those who are saying, look, I'm recognizing I have turned away from God. I've tried to live my own way, but now I'm repenting, which means turning around and walking the other direction, trying to live God's way. And if you're not yet sure that is what's happening for you in life, then it's best to come and keep asking your questions and talking with us. And we would love this evening, if that's where you are, to help you think through what's the next step in finding out more about the Lord Jesus. But that's why we say it's best not for you to take the bread and the wine, but either to come and to be prayed for, we would love to do that, or just when it comes to that moment later, just to sit quietly and think about the different significance of what the Lord has done that we're thinking about this evening. So that's one aspect of, for some people, it might be that the repentance that's still needed is this whole change of life, and you're still thinking that through. But it might be for others of us, we are already followers of Jesus, but we are meant to look in and to ask ourselves, is there some pattern of sin in my life, something that's going on that hasn't been brought to God, hasn't been dealt with? And that's why the Lord's Supper begins with confession. And before we come to that later on, it's worth preparing ourselves and thinking, before we just say those words, actually asking ourselves, are there places, particular places, where I need to repent? There will be for all of us, but I'm talking about particular areas where maybe we've been kind of putting them off limits to God and not allowing God to have a say. Are there places where you need to repent, patterns of sin that you've been putting off dealing with? One way to sort of work this through, is there something that still needs to be brought into the light, is to just ask yourself, is there something in my life that if other people found out about this, they would, you know, I would be a bit embarrassed? And if that's the case, then that's probably something that needs to be dealt with. And actually, a big part of dealing with that might be bringing it into the light, sharing it with just one other trusted Christian friend or one of us on the team. We would love, without judgment, to help you work through that and receive the Lord's grace. So we look in, we examine ourselves. And the Bible says that as we look in, we often will find ways that we need to also look around at those around us. So if you're still in 1 Corinthians 11, let me just read a few more verses from that passage. So 1 Corinthians 11 from verse 18. So he's speaking to a church and he says, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. And to some extent, I believe it. And a little later he says, when you come together, it is not the Lord's supper you eat. For when you are eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. As a result, one person remains hungry and another gets drunk. Now, Paul, in the chapter just before this one, he said, because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, because we all share in one loaf. Those words come in the communion service that we enjoy. And so the Lord's Supper, he's saying, is meant to be a great sign of our unity as a body. We're meant to look around us when we take the Lord's Supper and see one another as brother and sister and honor one another in that way. But that's not what they were doing in Corinth. There were some people better off in Corinth. They were coming, they were bringing their own meal, their slap-up meal, and they were taking that while others were there in the same fellowship, going hungry. And he's saying, you're dishonoring one another. Now, the issue for us is unlikely, I think, to be specific. That specific one, I don't see anyone who's brought their three-course dinner this evening while the rest of us are waiting for dinner. No, I don't think that's the issue for us. But we are meant to think, is there some way that I'm not relating well to those around me, to brothers and sisters or those in our wider lives, and that hasn't been dealt with? So perhaps we're harboring bitterness or anger in our hearts, and that needs to come to the Lord. And if that is us, Jesus encourages us in Matthew 5 to basically to hold off from taking the Lord's Supper until we've dealt with that person. So it might be that the resolve for us this evening is actually to go home and to contact them before we next come to take the Lord's Supper. And if that might be us this evening, we can either come for prayer or just sit again quietly in our seats so that we can pray about those things. I know for myself, it's easy to store up that kind of attitude to others, store up bitterness. The times when I know that's true for me is when I'm thinking to myself, here's what I'd really like to say to that person if I spoke my mind. And I keep kind of daydreaming about that. That's the red flag for me. And so if that prompts any of us this evening, just to think, actually, there's something that I need to deal with, then that would be a great thing to resolve before the Lord tonight. So that's the first place we look in communion. We look in, and as we do that, we look around as well, in and around in confession. Next, we look back. Now, I'm grateful if you could now flip back to the passage that Archie read for us at Luke 22. At Luke 22, let's have the page again, see if someone else can get it. Say it again. 106:8, thank you very much. Brilliant. So Luke 22, and we're in verse 14, and we're at the start of the passage. Jesus is celebrating the Passover meal with his apostles. The hour has come for this meal, and he says, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Now, once a year, we have Remembrance Sunday, that great moment in our national life. And there is that famous phrase that shows us why we do that. It's from a poem. It's just those words, "lest we forget, lest we forget." That is why we have that yearly moment of looking back as a nation in gratitude. And the Passover festival is like that kind of moment for God's people in the Old Testament, and indeed all the Jewish people. Once a year, the Passover is celebrated, a meal to help them bring to mind God's deliverance from Egypt. Remember, we were preaching through that a number of months ago. Remember, there was that final plague that God sent on the Egyptians in order to deliver his people. And he said that as I send that plague of the death of the firstborn, all those who take a lamb for the meal, kill the lamb and spread the blood on the doorposts, I will pass over. My judgment will pass over them. And so that yearly celebration, he said, do this every year to remember that I brought you out, that I delivered you from slavery. And so it was meant to be this significant time for God's people, each time they took it, of looking back with thankfulness. And here in Luke 20, Jesus is basically saying, look, I'm now bringing a new and a perfect Passover meal. Verse 19, he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. So Jesus' blood, like the blood of those first Passover lambs, it means that God's judgment can pass over us, can pass by us. When we trust in Jesus, Jesus is taking the punishment for our sin in our place. And he says to us, he commands us indeed, it's a good command, to regularly remember his sacrifice for us. Do this, he says, take the bread and the wine in remembrance of me. It's our lest we forget moment each time we come. Now, this command is where this command of Jesus is where our practice of the Lord's Supper's come from. And it's interesting just to notice Jesus doesn't specify much about how we should celebrate it. He doesn't say how often. That varies from church to church. We've got people of different church traditions with us this evening. Nor does he say exactly the form of service that we should use. So we're going to use a slightly different liturgy tonight than the one that we often use in the evening service. There's lots of different ways, liturgies at different churches, different patterns. There's freedom in it, like freedom in so much of our gathered worship. But the key thing he's saying, look, celebrate this meal. Regular visual reminder of the Lord's death. Now, Jesus says, this is my body given for you, and this is my cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Now, he doesn't, I don't think, mean that that this is literally the body and blood of the Lord Jesus. His body is in heaven, That's where he is. We're awaiting the return of his body when he comes again. It's a metaphor, a bit like when Jesus says in John's gospel, I'm the door for the sheep, or I'm the true vine. We're not saying, oh, he really is a door and he really is a vine. It's a bit like that with the Lord's Supper. When he says, this is my body, he's saying this represents my body. But it's no less spiritually significant for that. This is what we say when we, in the communion service, some of the words we use. We say, eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Something really spiritually significant is happening in the Lord's Supper as we take bread and wine. We are feeding on Jesus in our hearts. He uses that language in John's gospel. He says, feed on me. So what does that mean? Well, it means that as we take the bread and the wine, we have looked in and around in confession, and then we look back. That means, like the Passover, we look back with gratitude to that moment that made our salvation possible. As we take the bread and the wine, we see in our mind's eye, we see his death on the cross for us. These symbols that we can see, that we can taste and touch, and they remind us of his death for us. And by faith, we take them and we rest on Jesus' promises to us. So as you come to take bread and wine later, one way you could, as it were, feed on him in your heart is just to be saying, look, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the price you paid for me. Thank you that I can stand right now in this moment, washed clean, in your presence. You gave up your body for me. You shed your blood for me. Thank you, thank you. That is what we're doing as we come. We're feeding on him in our hearts. And we do that as we look back in gratitude at his death. And lastly, we also do that when we look forward, when we look ahead. That's the final thing we're going to see this evening. Look in, look back, and look ahead. I used to be in David's place a bit, and some of the other youth leaders, and leading youth group. And I love the game where you would get people to talk about their all-time favorite meal. Actually, the way we played it is, what would your death row meal be? But that sometimes kills the conversation a bit. But so the idea is you get to pick your three courses, okay? So anything you want for your starter, your main, and dessert. So I've got mine down to something quite specific. So for a starter, I would like some kind of crab and salmon concoction. Then I would like a steak, medium rare, sirloin steak, medium rare, peppercorn sauce, chunky fries, and spinach. And then for the pudding, it's got to be warm chocolate brownie, warm, not cold, definitely better, vanilla ice cream and chocolate sauce, again, obviously warm. Now, I played that with that game with the youth in my last church, and one of them said that his favourite meal would be tomato soup, which I said I think he could do better than that, and I imagine a number of you could do better than that, so I would love to hear your favourite three courses later. But why am I talking about favourite meals? Well, Jesus is saying here, in these verses, that the Lord's Supper, as well as a picture of looking back on his death, is also a picture of, in essence, the very best of meals, the very best of celebrations. So he says, look back again at the beginning of the passage. I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I will not drink of it again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Twice he said to them, look, I'm not going to take this meal again until God's kingdom arrives. Now, the kingdom of God coming there is a way of basically speaking of that promised new day when Jesus is going to return, when he'll come back physically, when he will return in great power and glory, and when he will make all things new. And when his kingdom is seen in all its glory, when he brings in that new heavens and the new earth, a place of peace and harmony, a perfect kingdom, the Bible pictures it as a great banquet, a great celebration. We're told earlier in Luke's gospel, people will come from east and west and north and south and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Isn't that a lovely picture of God's coming kingdom, the feast of the kingdom, a heavenly banquet? Now, I imagine lots of us, we're familiar with this idea. I take communion, I look back on Jesus' death, but this is another way that we feed on him is in our hearts. We look forward. As we take bread and wine, we look forward to that day. Just listen for a moment to how the banquet is described in the last book of the Bible. This is Revelation chapter 19. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder, saying, "Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready." And a little later it says, "Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." Just picture yourself there for a moment. At the wedding supper of the Lamb, of the Lord Jesus. This heavenly banquet with your Lord. This one who went to the cross for you. And you have been invited there to this glorious wedding supper, this eternal banquet. The celebration of his marriage to you, to his people, the church. Can you even imagine it? The joy, the celebration, the sight of the Lord Jesus. The millions and millions of his followers, his redeemed people gathered around him, gathered for this eternal banquet. And so as we come to the Lord's Supper, we are looking ahead to that day. And I hope that gives us some perspective this evening. The news is just dreadful, the news headlines, isn't it? And we look at a broken world and we're calling out to the Lord. Or in our own lives, brokenness, pain. And we look up in the Lord's Supper and we see that promise of this eternal banquet where all my tears, your tears, the tears and groaning of creation are wiped away. Where all is made new. And we can take this meal and say thank you. There is that coming day when the brokenness is ended and where all is made new. Well, as we move to come to take the Lord's Supper, I'm going to give us a couple of moments just to, in silence, reflect on what we've been hearing, to give us space. Maybe for you it's space particularly to look in at our hearts, to see if there is sin that we've been holding on to that we need to bring it into the light. Into his presence this evening. Our prayer ministry will be available at the end. It might be that you want to bring something to that, to those people in confidence. And remember, if there's someone who actually you need to go to, it might be the right thing just to refrain from communion this evening so you can go and make restoration with that person. So maybe for you particularly to look in, and for all of us, it's a chance to look back at his sacrifice, to delight again in the abundant grace for us. However we're feeling, if we feel unworthy, to come and to be blessed and receive. And then to look ahead to that heavenly banquet and the comfort that brings in all the earthly struggles we're going through, to look ahead and know he's coming back and he's going to make all things new. The struggles we're going through, not the end of the story. So just a moment's silence. Just perhaps bow our heads and reflect in the silence of our hearts on what the Lord's saying to us this evening.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.